Welcome to the Sounds of Chicago podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Music Guide. Hello, my name is Mark, and this is a show dedicated to the vibrant local Chicago music scene. Chicago has a very storied history when it comes to music, and we will talk to a variety of local artists to capture the heart, the mind, and soul of the thriving local music scene. Today, I'll be talking to an artist that can be seen on stages all over the Chicago area with the band Madam Reaper and the Gentlemen's Club. Today, I'll be talking to Madam Reaper. Hey, Kira, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. So, first question is, are you from the Chicago area?
No. Okay. I grew up in the Twin Cities, so Minneapolis, St. Paul. Okay. But my mom grew up in the suburbs, and my dad, my grandma on my dad's side is from Chicago. So, like, I have
Okay, so there's a
family.
Connection here.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
Okay. And I've lived here for about 10 years.
All right, so yeah, you're one of us now. So you've been in Chicago for 10 years, and what made you move to Chicago?
College,
okay.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
University of Chicago.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And what was your major?
Creative writing and visual arts.
Okay, so yeah. You're already an artistic background behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, not really what most people go to that school for.
Right. So where did you acquire a love for music? Where did your musical experiences come from?
I've loved music as long as I can remember. When I was a kid, I was really into, like you said, I was a musical theater kid. So mm-hmm. I loved Broadway and like musicals. And I just was always singing, and I did voice lessons as a kid and did, you know, choir and musicals, and I went to musical theater camp. So I was always doing music. And I don't know, just I guess once I got to be an adult and had the like means and finances to kind of take it a step further, that's I was able to start my project.
Okay. When did you start into pop music, into rock and roll?
I always liked singing pop, you know, popular music, whether it's mm-hmm. pop or rock or whatever. Like when I was a kid, I would just like record videos of myself on photo booths singing to like instrumentals I find on YouTube, and I would like write little songs on GarageBand. And then in college, I was in an a cappella group that did a lot of like contemporary music. So I've always enjoyed it. And I've always sung popular music. But yeah, it wasn't until 2021, 22 that I started like being serious about writing my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, coming from Minneapolis, there's a lot of great artists that came out of Minneapolis. Bob Dylan. Is a Minnesota kid.
Prince,
of course.
Replacements.
Husker Du.
Yeah.
And Bob Mould. And another band I like, the Jayhawks, are an alt-country band.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Minnesota's good for like country.
You guys go deep.
Folk stuff.
Mm-hmm. So
Lizzo.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So now also you are a classically trained vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that training come into play nowadays with what you're doing?
I think the biggest role it plays is just like helping me sing healthily.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like if you can sing classical music, it's the foundation you need to sing almost
right.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps with, just technique. I did have to teach myself like how to sing pop music. If like my early demos, you can tell that I'm still kind of like stuck in that classical box.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've practiced more and more, it definitely helps me like belt higher, sing lower, sing
right.
like more with like runs with more agility.
Phrases that you need more air for,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, oh, you got to take a deep breath here, you know,
yeah.
get through the phrase. Yeah. I did the same thing when I was in my early 20s where I was like, okay, if I want to sing for the rest of my life, you got to learn how to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think the biggest thing is like when you're playing a long set or if like you're on tour mm-hmm. and you're singing every night.
Oh yeah.
Having good technique is so important. Otherwise, you just blow out your voice.
I mean, I'm doing solo three hours a set alone. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So that's Thursday. I'm still a little raspy from Thursday. But okay. So you started that, and you were doing small recordings on GarageBand.
Like when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. That far back.
Yeah, when
okay.
So when I was younger, I would, you know, make little songs on GarageBand
mm-hmm.
or like we had a Yamaha electric piano. So I would like, I think it was like you could record up to four tracks. So
okay.
I'd record little things on the piano, whatever. But Yeah, when I started this project, I just started, I taught myself how to use a DAW.
Okay.
And
I'm going to have to step here. I'm not sure what DAW is.
Oh, Digital Audio Workstation.
Okay,
it's like
thank you.
Pro Tools, right. Ableton, yeah.
All right.
I use Reaper, which actually has nothing to do with the band name.
Right.
But
you can get a good sponsorship there.
Maybe. I don't know. They're like all open source. So I don't know if they would do a sponsorship, but they're also, I highly recommend Reaper for anyone who's looking for a DAW, but okay. Taught myself how to use it and just started like recording little, it was literally me and I had one and a half octave MIDI keyboard mm-hmm. and an SM58 in my studio apartment and was like recording demos. And the early ones are really, really bad. I will never share them.
Well, but you got to do that. You got to go through the process of writing the bad songs to start writing the good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
So, do you play a musical instrument?
I taught myself how to play guitar passably. I would not say I'm good. Okay. I can play chords. And I can play keys also okay. I can play keys well enough to like play. I play in another band sometimes, just like pretty simple pop stuff.
Okay.
But when I'm performing, and I record all of my keys, but when I'm performing live, I don't like playing an instrument because it's just like too much to focus on for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're composing songs, do they use guitar? Do you use keyboards?
Pretty much entirely key.
Okay.
Keys. Yeah.
And you have a songwriting partner, Kev Shepherd.
Yes.
What's that writing collaboration like?
So he's my partner. We live together.
Okay.
Which makes it easy. But he is a guitar player, which is nice because when I want to include guitar in my music, it's really hard for me to envision what it will sound like. Whereas mm-hmm. he can just write the part, make it sound really good. So it's what it looks like is kind of different from song to song. Like sometimes I'll have almost a finished idea and I'll be like, hey, can you write a part to fit in here?
Mm-hmm.
But, there was like one song where he was just kind of noodling on the guitar. He's a big pedals guy. So, you know, he was doing something.
Create soundscapes.
He does. Right. Yeah. Okay. So he was doing like creating a soundscape and I was like, that's really pretty. And I recorded it and I made it into a song. So it's kind of depends, but, it's really nice that we can like bounce ideas off of each other.
Yeah, excellent. And so now you collectively wrote all the songs for the first album, Madame Reaper's Gentleman's Club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so are you the primary lyricist as well?
I am the only lyricist.
Only lyricist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so first off, where did you record the album?
We recorded a combination of Treehouse Studios,
okay,
like on Cicero, and then I did a bunch of it at home, just like I did all the vocals at home.
Who engineered the album?
Max Grazier.
Okay.
He, Max Grazier and Jack Henry, who they both share a studio at Treehouse. They're like Max is in a band called Rat Tally that's pretty popular, and Jack is plays with Free Range and mm-hmm. some other like Chicago artists. But so Jack engineered it a little bit and then Max mixed and mastered it. But yeah, I recorded a lot of the vocals at home. We did almost all of the guitar, bass, synths at home just to save money.
So yeah, so a mix of professional and DIY.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, great.
And,
well,
you know.
Sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
It was very, very good. So I'm a proud Gen Xer, and when I was listening through the album, I was like, wow, this is 80s synth pop. This is really amazing. And, and also what I do love about it is you also have a lot of hooks and melody and mm-hmm. and a lot of different hook things in there, not just the vocal line, but hook guitar parts or hook keyboard parts. And so what were some of the influences going into writing this album?
I think like other artists that mm-hmm. influenced me were, Prince, Kate Bush, B-52s, Marina and the Diamonds, which is newer. That's not 80s.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of Talking Heads. Those are probably the main ones. And I think like what you're hearing with the hooks, that's just like how my brain works when I'm writing a song. Like I often just a really specific melody or hook will come to me and I record it as a voice memo on my phone.
Okay.
And then I figure out how everything else fits in with it. So
yeah, I got about 100 voice memos in the car. And all
blah, 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 yeah, I'm always in the car when I do it. And so I rarely start with like a chord progression.
Okay.
Then I'm like, oh, I really like this, you know, so.
So then you write a chord progression around the melody hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which I think is why like some of my chord progressions are a little unconventional. Mm-hmm. They don't stay in like one key. That's and I think that's why is because I'm writing them around like a melody or a hook.
And then you bring it to Kev and then you guys kind of work it out. And
yeah. Sometimes I do everything. Sometimes he, yeah, it's like totally a collaboration.
Okay. And one of the songs that jumps out is Chloroform. It's I like the title because then also sonically it sounds dreamy and floating like you're, you know, like you've been chloroformed. And but it also has like a little bit of a, what'd you say, like a girl group sound to it. So what's that song about? Is it autobiographical or?
Yeah, so it's literally it's about when I went to Pitchfork in 2021 and was watching Cat Power play and I fainted at the audience.
So definitely.
It's like the first line of the lyrics is like I fainted at a Cat Power concert. Right. But I was also like at the time dealing with like an interpersonal relationship with somebody who I just like felt like wasn't really showing up for me. And we had gotten into an argument the night before. And then, you know, I like was at the concert, whatever, I fainted. And when I told them about it, they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And for me, it kind of felt like, why are you asking me now if I'm okay? Like you're saying I'm sorry now when I really just needed this like last night.
Right.
So on a more high level, it's about like when people that you are trying that you rely on don't show up for you and disappoint you.
So it, again, but it also a lot of your lyrics seem to be drawing like almost like third person as well. So it, do you start with a kernel of personal and then kind of go creative writing wise in that to that direction?
I think I am still like, and I don't know if this will ever change. I'm to a degree uncomfortable, like being super intimate in my songs about things that I've gone through.
Right.
And so I often will kind of like veil it behind a metaphor or use a third person to add like a layer of separation between the song and my personal life. I think that's also why like I use a pseudonym.
Right.
And it also, you know, I have a creative writing degree. It helps with writing and characterization and things like that.
And also, it reminded me a lot of the music from the show Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Okay. And were you thinking of that while you were writing it? Or?
So when I wrote that song, I actually had never seen Twin Peaks. If you said Twin Peaks to me, I'd be like, oh, the band? And my guitar player, Kev, who we've talked about, early when I started the project, you know, Kev and I had just started working together. I showed him the demo and he was like, this sounds like Twin Peaks. And I was like, what's Twin Peaks? And he made me watch the first episode and I was like, this is stupid. I don't want to finish this. I thought it was just going to be like a murder mystery.
Right.
And I was like, this is it, like so soap opera-y. I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
But then he added the guitar part that is so Twin Peaks-y, the twang, dun-dun.
Yeah.
That was his doing. And then fast forward, you know, 2 years, we've been dating at this point for a long time. Right. I'm like, okay, we can watch Twin Peaks because he keeps talking about it. And I'm like, all right, fine, we'll watch it. And then I got past like the first, you know, three episodes and I was like, you're right. This is really good. And then in the last season, I don't know if you've seen the newer one, but they do all of these. Well, the early seasons have, what's her name? Julie, the singer in that show.
Julie Sobel? Was that her?
No. I can't remember.
I know who you're talking about.
The one who sings the theme song, but she sings at the Roadhouse. And then in the third season, they feature all these different artists that all kind of have like a eerie vibe.
Same
like
vibe.
Okay. Nine Inch Nails does one. Wow. And they basically do like a live performance at the Roadhouse. And now it's like, oh, Chloroform would be so cool. Like
it would fit right in.
It fits right in. I don't know how I wrote it without even knowing what Twin Peaks was. So now I love Twin Peaks, but okay. I did not, was not inspired by it.
Well, I mean, the good thing is that you drew from the elements of it, you and Kev, and created something new,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's kind of, oh, it kind of sounds, but there's other things going on there too.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
I fainted last night at a cat-powered concert. Underneath the bright red light, spinning heaven's open starry skies. Then I fell into the dirt. I did.
And so now, is the song now I got to ask you about, All Right Tonight, This.
Yes.
All the singles you release now have a bracketed word.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What's
I don't want to divulge too much because it's like a little bit of something that I just want people to like, you know, interpret as they will.
Okay.
I guess I can say that it is intentional and it's something I've been planning for a while, but I don't want to say much more than that.
Okay.
That's
fair. Artists can keep their secrets. So also I wanted to ask you, online you have a biography about Madame Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yes.
Or about you?
Yes. So Madame Reaper is, the way I envision it is it's, you know, maybe like the early 1960s, and she owns a strip club in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, and she, like, allows her employees to murder people that come in that are being rude, shitty, whatever.
Okay.
And then the town that she's in kind of thrives off of the strip club. It's a symbiotic relationship where, you know, she brings people in to the town. They patronize the businesses, so they don't really say anything about what's happening. But at the same time, you know, she's, like, murdering people. So then eventually the police hear about it. They come in. They shut the operation down. Making the town become dilapidated because no one's coming in anymore.
Right.
And then, you know, fast forward to now, it's like a skeleton of what it once was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the full backstory that I envisioned. But I think Madame Reaper has many different like iterations, interpretations. Sometimes, you know, my latest single Feast, an album, she is eating men. Like, it's kind of all over the board.
Yeah. Is there a screenplay in the works? A Madame Reaper screenplay?
That would be amazing if I had the budget and the time. No. I have been wanting to write, like, maybe a short story or a novel, but I don't have the time right now.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that there was a, I think it's an 80s movie called Innocent Blood. It's a vampire movie set in Pittsburgh.
Cool.
You know, it's like, okay, it's not New York, it's not San Francisco, the usual places. And the vampire is a female, young lady, and she's killing the Pittsburgh Mafia. And she's innocent blood. She leaves the innocent people alone. She's just going after the bad guys.
That's so funny. I always say if I was turned into a vampire, I would go straight for Donald Trump and Congress. Like, I would use my powers for good.
There you go. Well, that's the same thing. And there was one.
Now the FBI is probably watching me.
Right. One of the interesting scenes in there is she's finally going to get to kill the mafia boss.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cooking up an Italian dinner and she can't do it because there's too much garlic.
Mm.
And she's getting sick from. So it's great movie, a little funny, but
what's it called?
Innocent Blood.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Worth
sounds,
checking out.
Yeah, sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, there's a lot of pop sensibility to the song All Right Tonight, This. And so is that also you're developing your hooks that way? You say, you know, how you said you creatively pull hooks in from different places.
Yeah, so that one, my bass player, Austin, is an incredible bass player.
Okay.
And I wanted to write a song where they could like show their full abilities.
Yeah.
Ironically, it ended up being a synth bass anyway, so like they're not playing electric, but that's kind of what started it. And I was listening to Planet Claire by the B-52s and really liked the like spy vibes. There's a lot of chromaticism.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I want to try to do this somehow. I was also listening to 1999 by Prince a lot at that time. And he does a lot of like stabby chords and things like that. So I think that all of those influences are present in the song. And then that kind of provided enough for a bass layer. And I just, you know, added on top of it.
Yeah. Okay. So now you did the album Madame Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're doing a series of singles. Is that going to be a collected work at some point? Is like that's the next album?
I definitely want to release another album, and I have a lot of material I'm sitting on. I think I, again, like, don't want to divulge too much. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the other singles that are out currently.
Cool.
And the next one that is up is Satanic Tango.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great single. I think rhythmically, it's a departure from everything else that you guys have done.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me a little bit about that song? Where did that one come from?
Yeah. It's cool that you picked up on like the beat and the rhythm, because mm-hmm. I think for that one, I don't remember why. I think maybe I saw a video of Sylvan Esso doing something, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I wanted to write a song with a little bit more of an unconventional, that used unconventional sounds and beats, and that's where that started. I had it pretty much ready, like the mix was done.
Mm-hmm.
And Kev was like, the riff in it that's like, da, da, na, na.
Mm-hmm.
Kev was like, what if this was a trumpet? Yeah, and I was like, well, I'm about to send this to my mastering engineer. Like, it's a little late for this. And then I just kept thinking about it. And I was like, oh my God, it would be so cool as a trumpet. So last minute, I like found a trumpet player and we recorded trumpet on it.
Yeah,
but
so that was your unconventional sound that you were looking for.
Yeah. And honestly, it makes the song. It's really cool.
Yeah. So. It's nice that it's, organic, and it's not an electronic sound on mm-hmm. top of the electronic sounds that are in the song too.
Yeah,
which is
and
really,
I've never
really
used
great.
I like using I like the idea of having maybe like unconventional instruments for this kind of music.
Mm-hmm. So, and who's playing on that?
His name is Bryant, and he plays with CSO. He's played with the Lyric Opera, and he just came in and did this. We did a session in my apartment. Like, we have a little studio at our apartment, and he killed it. Like, he was so good. He put a bunch of ideas down with, like, little turns and stuff. And so, actually, Kev's brother is a really good clarinet player and did, like, Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra. And he knows all of these classical musicians. And so, wonderful resource. And that's how I got connected with Brian.
And have you used him yet on any of the songs?
Yes. Actually, it's not out yet. But okay. I do have a song coming out that features Brandon Shepherd on clarinet.
Okay. And is that the next one that's coming out in September?
No. And so the next one's coming out on the 23rd
of September.
Yes.
Okay.
This song will probably come out like late September, early October.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So, the latest single, the current one that's out now, is Feast, an album. We'll be right back.
for your attention. Oh my god, I'm so fucking sick and tired of these stupid little boys. Did you really think
you get me?
You don't even know my name, yet you ask me out in vain. Cause you really thought
you get me.
Now you're dead on my floor and the stain is a shame.
Stuff going on in that one.
Yeah.
Now again, is this taking a personal experience and turning it into a story, or turning it into third person, or is it strictly a fantasy story?
Oh yeah, it's based on all the times I've eaten men. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, we're in trouble, guys.
I am just like so sick of guys coming up to me at the gym, at the grocery store, okay, like on the train, and you know, like I had a guy come up to me once on the train. He was like, "Do you model?" He was like, like 70, and I was like, "Why are you asking?" I think I literally said to him, like, "Why are you asking me this?" He's like, "Well, I have a modeling story." And I was like, "Whatever, I don't want right. to hear it. I'm sick of it." If you're watching this and you see me in public, do not speak to me unless you know me, or unless you know I drop something.
Okay.
But, or, you know, like, okay, within reason, right? Like, anyway, I'm making my point. But so I was just sick of that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write this song about like this scenario of like where there's this woman who lures men in and then she brings them to like her dungeon and eats them.
So that's typical Madame Reaper stuff.
Yes, very okay. typical Madame Reaper. We made a music video for it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Because you just mentioned people walking up to you, and all of the elements of the video are you're shopping for groceries, you're on the subway, you're
like at a bar,
in a park, at a bar.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
So
who put that video together for you?
So that was me, my partner Kev, my roommate Sean, who Sean and I work on all the videos together. And then we just got some of our friends to be the like men in the video. Right.
The bros.
The bros.
Yeah, who's that acting in the very beginning?
That's Kev. Okay. Yeah, I know. Is it so funny?
He plays a good bro.
I know. And yeah, we did it all DIY. We like between that video and then All Right Tonight, this also has a music video that we did a lot of like green screen work for.
Yeah.
We just kind of taught ourselves how to do that stuff. Sean has a really good eye for editing. I know how to use editing software. But yeah, in the music video, she's this Barbie, like, pink girl, gets hit on everywhere, and then knocks the guys out, and then when they wake up, they're in her dungeon, and she's, like, transformed into this, you know, scary cannibal. Manable.
Manable, there you go. Specifically only eating men.
Yes.
I was going to ask you about the other video, too, and you said with the green screen stuff that you were doing and the different flashing colors, and that also I think that goes along really well with the flavor of the music.
Yeah. The first video, we really wanted it to feel, first of all, we did it super last minute. We were originally, it was one of those days in the winter when it was like negative 10 degrees outside, and we're like, well, we're not going to leave the apartment today. So we set up the green screen. We were just going to make some stuff for social media. And then we were like, what if we just made a music video? And we really wanted it to feel like 80s, like MTV, bright colors, And
you captured it. You did very well.
Yeah. So that was, it's pretty lo-fi. You know, they're all DIY, but.
Well, at the time, that was the highest fi they could do.
So. I know. That's what my dad said. He was like, this is better than what was on MTV. And I was like, well, we got a lot more technology nowadays.
Well, that's fantastic that you guys are sort of a self-contained unit. You can do most of the recording yourself. You can do the videos yourself. Any tips for people on how to move your career in that direction?
I mean, I think it's two things. I did get lucky, like with the videos, knowing Sean, who brings certain skills to the table with like filming and editing. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful to have friends, especially, you know, like all of this stuff is so expensive. Mm-hmm. You can't fund it all.
Right.
So when you have friends that are willing to like donate their time or work within your budget, and a lot of creative people who are similarly like struggling to get their work out there are willing mm-hmm. to do that.
So it's bartering.
I mean, it's just like
you do this for me. And
it's good to have friends. I saw an interview recently with Chapel Roan, who mm-hmm. has blown up, as we all know, talking about how like her team is still people that she worked with from the time when she was a broke artist. Mm-hmm. And they're just like her creative friends that she was working with. So I think that's like the first thing is if your friends are willing to help you out, that is like your network. You need to rely on that. The other thing is just teaching yourself skills that you can do things on your own. Mm-hmm. Like I learned my DAW, and that's the only reason I'm able to record.
Right.
Well, it's the only reason I'm able to like send my mix engineer a demo and a rough mix. And then I learned video editing software, which has been huge for like making video content.
Right.
And YouTube is great for that stuff.
Okay.
You don't need to pay money to like learn how to do any of this stuff.
You can learn to do anything. I was looking at stuff for home repair.
Yeah.
You know, and actually the great story I have about that one is my friend's son wanted to join a talent contest at 10 years old at school.
Aww.
And mom said, "You don't have any talents." He went online and he watched piano tutorial on how to play an Adele song.
Yeah.
On piano. And that's all he learned. He just learned how to do that and watching it over and over again. Kid won first place in the contest. So
that's all it takes. YouTube mm-hmm. is miraculous.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. So now let's shift gears and talk about performing live and mm-hmm. presenting your songs. How do you recreate the lushness of this 80s sound or the sound that you have?
It can be hard, especially because I've kind of cycled through many iterations of the band. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we have just a drummer and a bass player. Sometimes it's me and Kev. Sometimes it's everybody.
Right.
And so the thing that I've learned that really helps me be modular like that is having, again, like knowing how to work my DAW and making tracks, like mm-hmm. backing tracks, which I don't love the idea of relying too much on backing tracks, but it also makes it really easy if I get a gig offer and I'm the only person that can make it.
Right.
I'm like, well, I can do it.
I'll sing to
backing tracks. But when we do have the full band, in addition to having like, I'll do like the harmonies mm-hmm. and some of the synths as backing vocals, or as backing tracks, then it sounds really full,
right.
And awesome when everybody's there. So it's not easy mm-hmm. and requires a little bit of like, you know, pre-recorded
stuff. Sure. And the drummer's working off of click.
Yep.
And
the drummer always has a click. Yeah. And every pop singer these days does this. Mm-hmm. You know,
I know I've done it a few times too.
Yeah.
And there's a certain skill level to being able to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, cause you,
I mean, when we started some of our early gigs, like the tracks mm-hmm. we would get off and then that's like, if you get off from the track, you're kind of fucked.
Right,
or there was one time we had a gig and one of our tracks just played at like 2x speed, mm-hmm. which meant it was pitched up too. And
oh, man.
We were like, what is going on? It was awful.
Mm. And so, you know, you said also that you are fairly introverted. So now, is that why you created you are the character Madame Reaper to kind of draw on your theater experience for performance? Because a lot of players do that.
Yeah, I think it helps mm-hmm. To kind of just like separate myself from who I am on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get into like, I wear costumes and like makeup and stuff, which it's fun, but it also helps me feel like I'm Madame Reaper and I can really be Madame Reaper when I'm on stage.
Well, Is it possible that Madame Reaper can say a lot of things that you can't say?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think if I went around as Kira being like, mm-hmm. I'm going to eat this man because he made me mad, people would probably be like,
mm. Okay, so. And so who books the band?
Me.
Okay.
I do it all. Yeah.
And what's that process like? How do you go about doing that?
It is one of those things that you have to do if you want to be an artist, but it is definitely one of my least favorite things to do as an artist. It's a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of emails.
A lot of rejection.
Yeah. A lot of just people not responding,
right.
You know, but we booked a tour for the fall. And like for that, I literally just had spreadsheets on spreadsheets on spreadsheets and like so many emails.
Okay.
So you have to be very, it's like a job, you know,
right.
A job you're not making money for.
So, and where is this tour going to take you?
We are doing Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Madison, Champaign, Indianapolis, Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, okay. And then a show back at home in Chicago.
Things you get out there before it gets too cold.
Yes.
Us Midwesterners, we know that stuff.
Yeah, and you never know what driving conditions are going to be like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so do you have any other, you're an indie artist, do you have any other indie artists that you can talk about and recommend?
So last night I was mm-hmm. at my friend's show. They're the God Awful Small Affairs. They're mm-hmm. so good.
That was North Halsted? Was that where that
no,
was?
No, that was, it was at the Burlington.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. North Halsted had like market days
right,
this weekend.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and it bands all day too.
Yeah. So. They're like also very avant-garde.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly my friend Missy, who just has an incredible voice, like kind of like Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries,
right,
kind of
right.
those vibes. And then my friend Mark does guitar, and he does soundscapes.
Okay.
I really don't know how to describe them beyond that.
Right.
Check them out. They're awesome.
Soundscapes like our mutual friend of a friend.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Who also just...
In a different way, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And all original. You guys are mm-hmm. all three doing sort of the same thing, but differently.
Yeah.
And it's really fantastic. So.
Yeah. They're definitely, in my opinion, one of the most exciting bands in Chicago.
Okay.
I got to shout out the bands that like my bandmates mm-hmm. play in. So
Kev please do.
Also plays in Burr Oak, which is like folky rock.
Okay.
And he plays
Americana.
Americana, yeah. Mm-hmm. He plays in Girl K, which is pop.
Okay.
And then Austin plays with his partner Molly, who does like folk punk, Molly Compton.
Okay.
Also very talented. If you like folk punk, if you like, you know, Moldy Peaches vibes. and then Austin and I both occasionally will play with this band Calico Loco, which is punk-ish, indie, shoegaze, punk,
all
indie
right.
rock. They're very good.
And
super fun.
Where were some of the venues we'd see you guys at?
We played at Sleeping Village not too long ago, opening for Laura Jane Grace from Against Me. Against Me.
Okay.
And we, you know, well, like Shubas. Mm. I think they're playing Sleeping. I only play with them on occasion. They're playing Shubas at the end of this month. And then what are some other? Well, Friend of a Friend.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot recommend them more. Like their
right.
music is so unique. And they are such good musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely recommend checking out yeah. Friend of a Friend.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, friends of the show as well.
Yeah.
okay, well, when we get towards the end here, I want to ask you about just a couple of other personal questions, not to get too deep. But who is on your musical Mount Rushmore?
I like this question.
Yeah. You just pick four artists. They
yep.
could actually be not necessarily musicians. We've had other people pick actors. And,
interesting.
Yeah.
So, as like, you would think Madame Reaper would like have four women, right?
Right.
But actually, a lot of my biggest influences are men. So definitely Prince.
Okay.
I love Prince. I'm from Minneapolis.
Right.
I've always loved Prince. I think Lou Reed, because
yeah.
I love the Velvet Underground,
yeah.
and I think that they were like so important for just like the trajectory of music for alternative music, but
What's the quote about the Velvet Underground is they weren't the most popular band, but the people who listened to that album started bands.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then one of the biggest bands that like got me into music mm-hmm. and got me wanting to be a musician was the Strokes. Okay. I still love them. I love their music, but the front man, Julian Casablancas, would probably be on my Mount Rushmore. Even like the thing I don't like about this, maybe except Prince, is like Lou Reed and Julian Casablancas are both known to be assholes and assholes to women. So
Prince
it's like
too, maybe a little bit.
What?
Prince too, a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. I think he was. And who would be number four?
Got somebody on
okay,
your t-shirt?
I know. Yeah, no, it's not Debbie Harry.
Okay.
No, I know who. It would be Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think she got big when I was pretty young. Mm-hmm. I always saw her in popular media, and she is somebody that really like I think let people like me know it's okay to just be weird and do what you want.
Right.
And she is so talented. I've never seen her do a performance where I'm like, that's rough, you know?
Right. She's an amazing piano player too.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She's so good. So, and I think honestly, like I do take some musical influence from her mm-hmm. and definitely performance and characterization right. influence.
So. She's got a big movie coming out this year too.
She does?
Yeah. She's going to be in Joker.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And they haven't really said it, but I think it's going to be a musical.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So,
that's cool.
Hey, you might have another musical theater project. It's fantastic. So, okay. Well, the question I like to end with is an interesting one. So pick a number between 1 and 10.
3.
Okay. Would you rather learn that mermaids or fairies exist?
Mermaids.
Okay. Why is that?
When I was a kid, I wished to be a mermaid every year on my birthday for like 7 years straight. And I was very disappointed when it never happened. I loved The Little Mermaid and I wanted to be a mermaid so bad.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And fantastic. Honestly, I still do. Like, mermaids, they're cool, they're hot, they live in the ocean. What's not to love?
Exactly. So, where can we find you online? What are some things you want to plug?
You can follow me on Instagram. It's at madam_Reaper.
Okay.
On YouTube, I'm just at Madam Reaper. TikTok, if you're there, is at madam_Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
We are playing on the 17th at Glenwood Avenue Arts Fest up in Rogers Park.
Okay.
And it's free. We're
what time are you guys playing?
We're 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Okay.
5 p.m. and on Saturday. So that'll
wonderful.
Be great.
Yeah.
And then I am opening up for Princess Chelsea at Subterranean on the 23rd. And then we're going on tour.
Oh,
so yeah, if you like, you know, the stuff that you hear, you can definitely like follow my Instagram, mm-hmm. watch some of the YouTube videos,
right.
Throw us a like.
Right. The Tiny Desk concert stuff that you did too was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. That really one got pretty it. Popular. Yeah. If you like Chloroform, you should check out the live version. We did a live mm-hmm. video session for Tiny Desk.
Yeah. Outstanding. Okay. Well, Madam Reaper, it was very nice to meet you.
Yeah. Likewise.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.